You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Monday, September 20th. This is The Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn, and you're riding home with me from work. I'm in Studio C. And I'm going to have a regular old in-the-car show today. There will be a break in between because I'm going to stop and pick up some beef brisket for dinner. I love brisket. I just love it. And it's a Texas thing, and we got this new Texas gas station, Bucky's, that's supposed to have good brisket. So I'm going to test it out. We'll see. But that will be the interruption when I stop for gas. Otherwise, a perfectly uninterrupted show. Other than I got the bad sticky note. I'm at work and we're still not out of the cheap sticky notes. I banned these kind of sticky notes from the office. I said, don't ever buy these again. And I got the ones that fall. And I'm hungry, so I feel like I'm going to be angry. I'm behind schedule. Today's show title is Felt Needs Sermons. Felt Needs Sermons. I have a question in the inbox about a specific cult and what to think of it and where to get more information of it. It's not a very popular cult. You probably have never heard of it. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. But first, we need to review Brother William's pick from yesterday, or pick from Friday. There goes my sticky note. You know what? Sticky note's gone. I can't even find it. I don't even see it. I'm going to do the show from memory. All right, Brother William picked Alabama to beat Florida 28-14. I felt pretty good about that pick, especially the amount of points Alabama would score. And they ended up scoring 31. But this is the worst I've seen Alabama's defense play against the run maybe in my whole life. Rarely do you see Alabama get gashed like that and give up multiple rushing touchdowns, but that's what happened. Nevertheless, they got a victory in the swamp, 31-29. I'd hate to be Florida's kicker because Alabama won that game because Florida's kicker missed an extra point, and then Florida had to go for two and didn't get it. So I can sit and lament Alabama's poor performance. I can lament how their offense basically shut down after the first quarter. But anytime you can go into the swamp and get a win against a ranked Florida team, there's something to be said for that. Now let's go to the Bible chapter review. We're in Matthew chapter 6. What verses? I don't know, because my sticky note fell down. Let's say 13 and 14, but I don't know. It's the verses immediately following the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And if you don't forgive others for their transactions, the Father will not forgive you." And you have to tie that in to the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you also got to think about Jesus' teaching elsewhere where he says, you know, you're coming to the temple with a sacrifice, but you got something against your brother first, or your brother has something against you. Go be reconciled with your brother first. So when we come to God empty-handed, saying, "God, you got everything we need. We need it from you on a daily basis, and we need forgiveness." We also want to come humbly saying that, you know what, we've forgiven the people who've trespassed against us. Forgive us of our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, it's the next chapter. "Judge not, lest ye be judged by the same standard which you're judging." So don't come asking forgiveness if you're not willing to forgive others. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday School Sunday because we just happened to have started a unit on the Sermon on the Mount. We're just going through Matthew 5 and 6. Excuse me. And the teacher was talking about forgiveness. He's talking about having mercy. Hey, yeah, that's what we're talking about, mercy. Blessed are Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And remember the parable Jesus told about the wicked servant and the unmerciful servant who was forgiven a debt. And then he went and beat up a guy who owed him money. So he got a debt forgiven of like $1 million. And then some guy owed him $50. And he went and beat the guy up and put him in debtor's prison for owing him $50 when he just got $1 million forgiven from him. So we have sinned so infinitely against God. Where in the world do we get off not forgiving other people's transgressions against us when we're transgressors ourselves? So if we want the Father's forgiveness, we need to forgive others. And in that we show the love of the Father. In that we show that we belong to the Father when we're forgiving others. Now let's move on to the inbox. This question comes from Lacey. I forget where Lacey's from. I want to say Ohio, but my sticky note fell down. She's written in before. And she's writing in about the Remnant Fellowship, also known as the Way Down Workshop. And I think they have this here in Georgia, because I've heard about it before. Because I was like, what's that, Lacey? And she's like, oh, it's this link. I said, oh, I remember this vaguely from the news. And why did she come to me for this answer? It's because this is the Christian Commute, your theological roadside assistance. And you can write like Lacey did to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com or dial 470-315-0875. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Now, let's get to this question. I can already tell it's going to get... And there's something vibrating. What is bouncing around back here? Sorry. All right. I can already tell that we're going to get interrupted. That we're going to get interrupted by the stop for brisket. But Lacey, I keep wanting to say Stacy. It's Lacey. Lacey from, I think, Ohio, maybe Indiana. Some Yankee state, I don't know. Lacey says, my friend's daughter has gotten involved in the Remnant Fellowship, also known as the Way Down Workshop. Can you think of any resources for education? It was kind of funny. I wrote her and I said, I've never heard of them. Do they have a website? And she wrote back and says, well, yes, here's the website. And they're listed in the Watchman Fellowship profile notebook, which I've recommended on this show before. I said, if you want to know about a cult, see if it's in the Watchman Fellowship profile notebook. So other than that, no, I don't have any resources. And here's what's so great about these profiles in the profile notebook, Lacey, is that they're cited. They're cited like academic papers, so you can see the sources the author of the profile is using. So what would be great if the daughter who's gotten caught up in this is open-minded, and, you know, if she wasn't open-minded, maybe she wouldn't have joined a cult. Just send her the profile notebook and say, read this. But here's the deal. Here's the question we need to ask ourselves every time we see somebody who's gotten caught up in some kind of cult or false religion. The question we ask ourselves is, did this person have a Christian background in the first place? Because if my pagan neighbor gets caught up in Mormonism, what am I going to go to him and say, well, here's the profile notebook that says how they're not Christian? Well, he wasn't a Christian to begin with. You know what I'm saying? So you have to ask yourself, Lacey, or at least your friend's parents have to ask themselves, Lacey, how good of a job did they do bringing this child up in the church and discipling her and making sure she knows doctrines? Because I believe this Remnant Fellowship, they're Arians, and that they believe Jesus is a created being. So that's their big major red flag heretics there. So anybody with a basic understanding of church knows that Jesus is God. You know, my kids know that. Why? Because I tell them all the time, Jesus is God, kids. So they get into something like this, and they think, oh, no, this is wrong. Everything seemed okay, but this is wrong. And I'll continue with this thought as soon as I get my gas and brisket. here at Bucky's.
Okay, back to talking about this weight loss cult. Now that I've got my brisket and I'm on the way home. Got back out of here. This is a busy place. All right, so here's the deal. And I'm not just talking about this cult. I'm talking about any cult. They prey on people who've got some kind of problem, some kind of weakness, some kind of lack of self-confidence that they can get from the cult. When and that, by the way, I'm talking about new converts and new cults. So if you have a cult like, say, Mormonism, well, people have been in Mormonism for 200 years. There's kids that grow up in Mormonism. So they don't need to do that with cradle Mormons, for example. But let's look at something like International Church of Christ, which is a newer cult. Well, what do? They find lonely kids in the lunchroom at college. Kind of the dorky ones, all right? We're all made in God's image, even nerds, and people are not good at sports and ugly people, all right? God's spirit. But here in our physical world, we got, not trying to be offensive, we got good-looking people, ugly people. We got fat people, skinny people, and people that are the healthy size. People who are dopey, dorky, people who are funny looking, they might not have as many friends as good looking people who are good at sports. All right. So the International Church of Christ, and I know this from experience, and I've told it on this show before. They go to the lunchroom at the university. They find the kids sitting alone, and they're friendly to them. And here you have this lonely person, and they're away from home for the first time. They're away from their friends group. You know, if you're a goofy looking dork, it's hard to make friends. But you've been in school for 12 years, you've made friends by then. Now you're at college, all your friends are gone, and now you got to make new friends, and you're this goofy looking dork. How are you going to approach people? Well, here are these nice people approached you in the lunchroom. Aren't they nice? Yeah, it's a cult. And I remember when I went to the International Church of Christ Sunday morning church meeting, I was looking around. I was like, yep, they were right. And it was... You know, if you're at UGA and you're talking about looks, coolness, whatever you want to think about, if you're saying the average person at UGA is a 7, this is a room full of 4s, all right? So that's how they do. And I don't imagine it's much different with this weight loss cult. Those of you who have or have had weight problems out in the listening audience. But if you're overweight, do you feel confident about yourself or not confident about yourself? If you're overweight, what is your main source of anxiety on a given day, on a daily basis? It's probably food, and it's probably 3 times a day because we're getting breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Everybody's got to breathe, everybody's got to eat, and everybody's got to sleep. So imagine if you had a sleep disorder. Every night you'd have some problem. Man, it's time to go to bed, and now I've got a sleep disorder. Either I can't go to sleep or I can't wake up on time. This is something that happens to me every day, and I'm miserable. Like, think of somebody like me. I don't like to see needles. I don't like to look at them. I don't like to see blood come out. It freaks me out. I get my blood drawn twice a year. So I have that. I look the other way while the phlebotomist takes my blood, and I go through that uncomfortable experience twice a year. All right, what if you're afraid of needles and you had to get poked every day? See what I'm getting at? So, sleep disorder. Oh, no, I'm upset. Every day I have to sleep. Every day I have to breathe. What if you had a breathing disorder? Like, what if you had cystic fibrosis or one of these things where every breath bothers you? That's a constant source of anxiety. And then you got an eating disorder. Well, you're hungry all day long, and then you get to mealtime, and you're like, I need to eat a smaller portion. I shouldn't have ate that much. Or I'm going to have to eat a bland salad with fat feed dressing. Oh, you know, because I got this weight problem and I'm trying to slim down. Because if I was only slimmer, if I was only slimmer, my mom and dad wouldn't say stuff to me about my weight. If I was only slimmer, more boys would ask me out on dates. If I was only slimmer, I'd buy that bathing suit at Target and wear it to the beach unashamedly if I was only slimmer. And you have to think about your weight problem. Morning, noon, and night. All right? And I guess the same thing goes for the people with the eating disorders who don't like, what do you call it, anorexia. Like, I'm not going to eat anything. I know I'm hungry, but I'm not going to eat anything. So this particular cult, Remnant Fellowship, you're saying, well, you're talking about cults. Why are you talking all this stuff about anxiety and sleep disorders and weight disorders? Why? Because this started as a weight loss workshop by this woman who came up with one of these weight loss programs. And there's a million weight loss programs. You got D-Lamil. Remember Richard Simmons and D-Lamil? Sweating to the oldies. You got your D-Lamil. You got your Weight Watchers. You got your Atkins diet. Jenny Craig. I mean, you name it, there's some weight loss program out there. There is no shortage of weight loss programs and workshops and gurus and say, this is how you can keep lose the weight and keep it off. And this kind of ties in with our felt needs sermon topic. So these people who come up with these workshops for these people, these problems people feel that they have, either real or imagined, well, they need meeting space to hold their workshop. Well, we'll do it at churches, and we'll, you know, we'll tie it to Scripture. Because God doesn't want you to be unhealthy, does He? Your body's a temple, right? Same thing with Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey wants that taught in churches as a quote-unquote ministry. And it's got a spiritual part in there. Like, oh yeah, or are you tithing? You person in debt, you need to get straight with God and manage your money and be a good steward. This is a steward, this is a ministry, etc., etc. So this Way Down workshop started as something that was given in churches, just regular old Orthodox churches. This is Way Down workshop. Get in this program, do the thing. But then the woman who started it and her husband, they turned it into a church, like an official church, the Church of the Way Down workshop, and called it Remnant Fellowship. Now, why would somebody do that? Hey, yo, taxes. Churches are tax exempt. And then these people came up with all kind of unbiblical doctrines, one of which is that Jesus is created. So here's the thing. If the focus on your church is learning the Bible and teaching people the Bible and telling people about Jesus, that's what you're going to do. That's a regular everyday church. But if your church's focus is on something else, like this is, our church is focused on weight loss, well, then you're going to have all kind of cockamamie doctrines. So getting back, Lacey, to your question, no, I don't have any more resources, but you got to think, how do I approach this person? Why is somebody going to the Way Down workshop church? Because they're sensitive about their weight. The people in your church who are in good shape, you never have to worry about them apostatizing to the Way Down workshop Remnant Fellowship. You got to understand, Lacey, that these cults are set up to get these anxious people with no confidence in. And when you're dealing with the person, to get them out of the cult, you have to deal with their problem. What's making them anxious? What's making them feel less than? That's life coaching. Do you realize you can life coach someone out of a cult? But what? It's not about getting somebody out of a cult. It's about getting someone to Jesus Christ. You share the gospel with them and say, this is the gospel. This is who Jesus is. What you're in now, they don't have Jesus right. So if you want to get them out of the cult, you're going to have to deal with their foibles, whatever is wrong with them. Whatever, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe this girl's in great shape. I have no idea. But I have to imagine you've got this fairly poorly adjusted chubby girl who doesn't get along with the people at church and feels bad about being chubby. And weight loss workshop at the Remnant Fellowship sounds just the thing for her. All right, that's how they got her in. But bottom line, who's Jesus? You got to get Jesus right or you're going to go to hell. So share the gospel with them and then maybe walk them through how they got involved in something that was so heretical that somebody tried to prey on them. And here's the thing. Jesus Christ will never try to prey on your weaknesses. Jesus is just here to reconcile you with the Father, and His church is going to help you do that. Now, let's end the Bible, not Bible chapter review. Oh, we already ended the Bible chapter review. Let's end the question and answer section
When I find whichever one of my kids left something in the back that's rattling and driving me crazy. Ooh, my kids are messing up my minivan. What is that? Oh, it's this. It's this. Stop it. I gotta pause. What's rattling is one of my booster seats for my kids. It's actually a harness seat. And I guess since no one's sitting in it, it's just going to rattle and drive me crazy for the rest of the show. I hope you can't hear it. Let's get to today's show title, Felt Needs Sermons. So I went, this is going to sound like left field, but trust me, I'll get there. I went to a barbecue contest in Dillinger Park in Cartersville yesterday, Saturday. And this barbecue contest, I think it happens annually. It's put on by the Lions Club. And they call it the Pros versus Joes contest. And it's a barbecue competition. So you got, I think there were 10 teams of people who made barbecue. You taste their barbecue, and then you vote on who's is best. Those of you who've been listening to this show for any amount of time know that I love barbecue. I got a pound of brisket right next to me right now. All right. So I'm like, oh, $10? And I get a sample of barbecue from all these places? Sign me up. And I went there, and giving away free drinks at the barbecue contest was Awaken Church, which is a new church plant in Cartersville. And I'd kept my eye on it because I'd seen their Facebook advertisements, and I'd seen a couple people around town talking about it. And they had a lady pastor, so I'm like, oh, hold on. So I'd been keeping up with it. So anyway, the church staff was there. The pastor was there. Now, when I say lady pastor, the lady pastor is the husband, or I'm sorry, is the wife of the pastor. It's one of those real weird things where said, these are our pastors. It's real funny. I walked up, and they said, here's a flyer for our church. And I said, do y'all have a lady pastor? And she says, no. And I was like, oh, okay, I had gotten you confused with another church. So I pick up their flyer and turn it over, and it says, our pastors. And there's a picture of a man and a woman. And I said, you do have a lady pastor. Look, it's right here. And she goes, that's my husband. I'm his wife. And it was the woman from the picture. Like, lady, don't put your picture on a flyer that says pastors, S, with your picture on it, and then say, we don't have a lady pastor. Here's your picture right here. But again, that's that weird Pentecostal thing where the man and the woman are both pastors and the woman is somehow a pastor by virtue of being married to her husband. Anyway, that's how that conversation started. And I got to talking to the male pastor of the church. And I said, well, you know, who's your sending organization? Who is it? And he says, well, it's the Assemblies of God. Which was surprising to me because the Assemblies of God Church in Cartersville, the first Assemblies of God, actually went out of business a few months ago. They dwindled down to almost nothing. So I was talking, you know, I got to talking theology and church to this guy. And he says to me, one, well, people aren't really as dogmatic as they used to be because we were talking about the differences between the Assemblies of God and the Church of God, Cleveland. People aren't as dogmatic as they used to be because they're not getting taught a lot of scripture. I said, well, how do you preach? He goes, well, I prefer exposition because the text does the work, but I do some felt needs sermons. And I said, hey, dude, the reason people don't know the dogma is because they're getting felt needs sermons. And then that conversation I had with him stuck with me as I was doing yesterday's review of Rockbridge Community Church in what was a felt needs sermon. That guy wasn't teaching a doctrine of anything. He was doing a felt need, like people need to think, like, how do I make my family better? How do I do my finances? You know, parenting and financing. We're going to talk about those felt needs. And that's what the pastor from Awakened Church told me. He said, and this is what he said to me. He said, if I advertise that I'm doing a series on Ephesians, unchurched people won't want to come. Which is true. No argument there. But if I advertise that I'm doing a series on parenting, unchurched people might want to come. No argument here. That's also true. And then you think about, well, what's it say in Ephesians? Well, husbands, treat your wives this way. Wives, treat your husbands this way. Husbands, treat your wives this way. Wives, treat your husbands this way. Parents, treat your kids this way. Kids, treat your parents that way. It talks about family relations in there, among other things. So if the guy says, well, we're just going to preach through Ephesians, well, unchurched people won't want to come. But if there's some practical felt needs advice, they'll come. And guys, that sounds great, doesn't it? But that's backwards. That's how you get Andy Stanley, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels. You're preaching to people's felt needs, what they think they need to hear about. Now, I, for one, I'm a grown man, as I've said. I'm a grown man. I'm 40. You know, I was that Mike Gundy line. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm a grown man. I don't want to go hear some preacher tell me how to do my finances or how to do my parenting. What's he know more than me? I'm an accountant. Don't tell me how to run my finances. I should be telling you. Hey, I've got 6 kids. I don't need to listen to you. I can tell you some experiences about parenting. Right and wrong. Good and bad. All right? Don't life coach me. But that's just how I feel. Other people might feel like, well, I don't know what to do. Maybe we should go to church and hear about it. But people who preach to felt needs instead of exposition are, number one, going the way of Matt Evans and risking eisegesis. But number two, you're marketing church to the wrong crowd. I'm going to say something to you. You don't have to market church to the elect. They just come because they're supposed to. Here's a poor analogy. Let's say you sell heroin for a living. You're a drug dealer and you sell heroin on the street corner. You don't have to market it. They're hooked on it. They'll just keep coming back over and over. Why? Because they're hooked on heroin. Listen, if you're hooked on Jesus, you want to go to his church. I'm one of the elect. God's prepared good works for me to do before the foundation of the world. Not only that, he's given me gifts to exercise in church, along with the other people in the church, so that we're all one body and the body may be complete with all the gifts because we've all been given a measure of something. You can't keep me out of church. I'm of the elect. You know who doesn't want to come to church? Unchurched and dechurched people. Lost people. Why? Because they don't love Jesus. Why in the world would you fashion your church, especially the Sunday morning teaching time, around and marketing to those who don't love Jesus? Do you know what somebody who doesn't love Jesus is going to get from a felt nude sermon? They're going to go to hell as a better parent. There's the old phrase, we don't want to send anybody. I've heard it was originated by Adrian Rogers, but I don't know. We don't want to send anybody to hell with a full belly. That's the social gospel. We're going to feed people and give them soup and medicine and clothes and free dental work. But if we never tell about Jesus, they're going to have straight white teeth. They're going to be warm and they're going to be full of soup and then they're going to die and go to hell. Same thing with these felt needs sermons. If you give people life coaching tips on how to be a better parent, but they never come to love Jesus, having repented and believed the gospel, they're going to be a better parent and then they're going to die and go to hell, and so will their kids. Stop it. But here's the thing. When you get a church plant, what do they want to do? We want to grow. How are we going to grow? By getting people to come. How do we get people to come? Oh, we preach felt needs. I mean, let's pretend this awakened church. Let's pretend it wasn't Assemblies of God. Let's pretend it didn't have a woman pastor. All right? Which are, those are deal breakers. That's a deal breaker. So let's pretend it didn't have those two deal breakers. Would it be a church worth going to or promoting or praying for, partnering with? No, because it's not designed to minister to God's people. It's basically a tent revival disguised as a church. Listen, if you want to reach unchurched people, go have a tent revival and have some evangelists preaching. Go on. But don't call that a church, and don't center every Sunday around
trying to say things unchurched people would want to hear. That's like telling the Taliban how great America is. They hate America. Why are you telling them how great we are? You know what you have to do? You have to change to get them to like you. How many of you, if you went to your parents and said, I like this boy or I like this girl, but I'm going to have to change to get them to like me? How many of your parents would say, well, just change for them? No, they'd say, if they don't love you for you, they're not worth being with. Find somebody else. So think about the bride of Christ here. Why would you whore out the bride of Christ so that people who don't love Jesus would like her? Yeah, we could talk about Ephesians, but we're gonna talk about parenting and loosely tie it to Ephesians. Somewhere along the way, that's what Felt Needs has brought us. And maybe you're stuck in one of these Felt Needs churches. And maybe you even thought it was a good idea and you pushed your church towards it. It's time to turn around because that was a bad idea. And guys, this is something that you can sense as one of these deal breakers that's not so obvious. You go to the church website. All right, I went to the church website. It lines up. Their statement of faith lines up with Scripture. You know, there's no lady pastors. Everything seems fine. Let me listen to one of the sermons. Oh, it's a Felt Needs sermon. Deal breaker. These people have a wrong idea about church. Watch out for Felt Needs. Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.